Good morning. Thank you for joining. Today's daf is daf Ayin Vav. Here in Masechet Pesachim, the topic is really the issues. Again, as we've seen, Korban Pesach has to be roasted by fire. The Torah stated explicitly, Al tochlu mimenu na. Don't eat it if it's half raw, uvashal mevushal b'mayim, or something cooked in water, ki im tzli esh. It has to be eaten, roasted by fire. Therefore, if you take the Korban Pesach and you mount it on a grill, askala, or on a shpud, a metal rod, a spit, so then it's not going to be a kosher Korban Pesach to eat it. Because the metal, when partially heated, becomes fully heated. And then you're going to have the meat roasted not only by fire, but also by mateches. It's not going to be tzli esh, it'll be tzli mateches. You roasted by metal, roasted by the askala, roasted by the shpud. It's not tzli esh. So it continues the Mishnah. They would normally take the Korban Pesach, the goat or the lamb, run a stick, a branch from the pomegranate tree through it, and hang it in the airspace of an earthenware oven so that it doesn't touch the walls. Because again, if it touches the walls, it's not going to be tzli esh. It'll be roasted by cheres, tzli cheres, roasted by the wall, by the earthenware. It has to be roasted by the fire. Says the Mishnah, what happens if naga becharso shaltanu? What happens if the Korban Pesach touched the earthenware wall of the oven? So the earthenware wall is hot. Korban Pesach touched it. And now this earthenware is roasting the meat of the Korban Pesach. So now this part which touches is not tzli esh. It's not roasted by fire. It's tzli cheres. It's roasted by earthenware. So yiklov es makoma. The law is you have to peel out the whole spot. Not just where it touched, but the whole spot, because we assume that that spot is now cooked from the earthenware. It's not tzli esh. Next case, nataf meirotfo. If some of the gravy, some of the liquid, some of the juices of the Korban Pesach dripped out, and they were not fully cooked yet, and they hit al acheres, they hit the earthenware, now the earthenware cooks them fully, And now these juices go back into the Korban Pesach. So now you have in the Korban Pesach something which is not tzli esh, part of the Korban Pesach. This juice that came out and bounced back in is tzli cheres, is roasted by the earthenware. So now yitzol es makomo. So the law is you have to cut out that spot where all of that juice went, because that juice is going to permeate into the Korban Pesach. Third case, nataf meirotvo al asolas. Let's say the Korban Pesach, the juice, dripped out of the Korban Pesach and it dripped onto boiling hot fine flour. So the fine flour now is going to roast this juice. So now this juice is not only roasted by heat, it's not tzli esh, it's also roasted by boiling hot fine flour. So yikmotzes makoma, you should take the fistful of that flour out and throw it away, because that's not kosher. All right, next case, sacho b'shemen truma. Somebody smears as an ointment the goat or the lamb or the Korban Pesach with oil of truma. So a non-Kohen is not allowed to eat truma. So im chaburas Kohanim, if it's a group of Kohanim who bought the Korban Pesach, so yochlu, they can eat it even though there's truma on it. They're allowed to eat truma. Im shel Yisrael, but if there's a group of Yisraelim, and they smeared the Korban Pesach with truma, im chayhu, if the Korban Pesach is raw and it hasn't been roasted yet, yedichenu, they should just rinse it off. Just rinse off that oil. Im tzlihu, but if the Korban Pesach is roasted, so the heat of the roasting is going to cause the truma oil to sink in, to spread. So yiklof es achitza, you just have to peel off the outer layer, burn it, and the rest can be eaten. Sachar b'shemen shel ma'aser sheni. If they ointed, they smeared on the carbon Pesach oil of ma'aser sheni. So ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to do anything with it. You have to eat it. They're in Yerushalayim. That's where you eat the carbon Pesach. So lo yaseinu dam l'bnei chabura. He shouldn't go to the members of the group that bought the carbon Pesach and have them give money for the holiness of the ma'aser sheni. Same poded ma'aser sheni b'Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to redeem ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim. You can either eat it yourself or give it to somebody else, but you can't redeem it. So now, if you take money, that's it's selling ma'aser sheni. So therefore, you don't do that. All right, says the Gemara. In Maseches Chulin, we have a discussion. When you have two items, a colder item and a hotter item, let's say you have cold cheese and hot meat, or the opposite, hot cheese and cold meat. So what happens? Do we say that it all becomes cold, or do we say that it all becomes hot? This is the question between that we had in Masechet Shabbos also. Tata'a gavar or ila'a gavar? Does the top item win, or does the bottom item win? So Yidmar, we learned in the yeshiva, cham l'toch cham. Let's say you have a hot item going into another hot item. You have hot burger going into hot molten cheese. If you have cluster, that certainly becomes prohibited. The tastes go out from one into the next and they spread through. The heat helps spread the tastes through. So if I have a piece of nevela on kosher meat, meat that didn't have a shechita, I have another piece of kosher meat, and they're both hot, and I put the two of them on the top of each other, so the non-kosher tastes are going to flow into the kosher taste, kosher food, the whole thing becomes straight. Tzoni l'toch tzoni. Let's say, now starting today's daf, ayin vav amud aleph, you have cold into cold, a cold piece of treif meat into a cold piece of kosher meat. So cold into cold, there's no taste transfer. Cold into cold, there's no taste permutation. So that divrei kol mutter. Of course, it's permitted. You have to wash it off, but that's it. You don't have to do anything beyond washing it off. But what the question now is, when we don't know what's the situation. Cham l'toch tzoni. The hot fell into the cold. Or the tzoni l'tocham. The cold fell into the hot. On the bottom, it was either the bottom and the top are different. Either the bottom was hot or the bottom was cold, and the top was the opposite. So Rav Amar Ilo Gavar, whatever is top is the one that wins. So if hot fell into cold, hot wins. So the whole thing becomes hot. The non-kosher taste is going to travel through. If cold fell into hot, according to Rav, the top wins. So the whole thing is cold. So it's permitted. Yeah, question.
How is hot defined?
I would assume Yad Soledes Bo, boiling hot. So Rav Amar, Ilo Agavar. Rav says that the top one wins. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says Tata Agavar. The bottom one wins. So if cold fell into hot, since it fell into hot, the bottom one was hot, the whole thing is now hot. And if hot fell into cold, since the bottom one is cold, the whole thing is now cold. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses, maybe we can prove Rav right, or maybe we can prove Shmuel right. Now we go into our Mishnah. Tznan, we lived in our Mishnah. Carbon Pesach, the Torah says, ki'im tzli'esh, only roasted by fire. It can't be roasted by metal. It can't be roasted by earthenware. We learned in our Mishnah, natav meirot v'alacheres, if you have your goat or lamb hanging in your earthenware oven, and some of the juices drip out onto the earthenware, and then the juice bounces back into the carbon Pesach. Says the Mishnah, Yitol es makomo. You have to take out the spot where the juice went. Now, what's the case? You have an earthenware oven and you have a carbon Pesach, and you're roasting the carbon Pesach. They thought to say, those who are asking this question, the cheres tzonenes. The earthenware oven itself was cold, but the carbon Pesach was hot. According to Rav, who says that the top one is the one that wins. Now it all makes sense. Now we understand why this juice that bounced back into the Korban Pesach have to take out its spot. Why? The Azal wrote to have the juice, which was hot, came out, and it falls on top of the cold earthenware. So, you have hot juice on top of cold earthenware. But the top one is the hot juice. So the hot juice heats the earthenware because the top one wins. That boils up the earthenware. Other cheres, and now you have a boiled earthenware. So the boiled earthenware now, mirtachle lerotev, now starts furthering the cooking of the juice. Furthers the cooking of the juice. And now the juice is not just cooked by fire. It's not just tzlit esh. It's also cooked by cheres. Then v'chiyadar rotev ha-pesach. Then when this juice goes back into the korban pesach, Kamati Pesach Machmas Chamimusa de Cheres. You have in this Karban Pesach now juice which was cooked, which was roasted by the heat of the earthenware. Rachman Amar Hashem said, Sli Eish, well, Sli Machmas Davar Acher. You have to have what's roasted by fire and not roasted by something else. So that's, you have to take out this part of the Karban Pesach. El Lishmuel, but according to Shmuel, Dharma Tata Gavar, who says the bottom one wins. Cheres, if the case is that it's earthenware which is cold, and the juice fell on it, came into tzoninu, since the earthenware which is the bottom is cold, ikure mikre lerotev, it actually cools down the juice. So now when the juice goes back into the karban, amayitvas makoma, why do you have to take out the spot? The juice was never roasted by anything other than fire, because when the juice hits the cold earthenware wins, according to Shmuel. So maybe this Mishnah is a proof that Rav is right and Shmuel is wrong. Answer the Gemara, no. The same word of Yirmi is going to say in the name of Shmuel himself, the next case of the Mishnah, where the juice of the Korban Pesach falls on flour. It's Besolos Rotachas. It's talking about flour that's boiling hot. Hachanami, here the case is Becheres Roteach. It's that the earthenware is boiling hot. It's not that we needed the juice to heat the earthenware. The earthenware itself was boiling hot. It's not related to the Mishnah, right? So that's why, if the earthenware is boiling hot, the juice that goes out of the carbon and hits the earthenware is now being cooked also by boiling hot earthenware. Then when it goes back into the Korban Pesach, now you have in the Korban Pesach some stuff cooked by fire and some stuff which was cooked by earthenware. Silent in the Mishnah, Nataf Meirotvo Alasolas. If some of the juice dripped on the fine flour, some of the juice of the Korban Pesach, you have to take away that fistful of flour. Again, we thought to say that the Mishnah is talking about Besolas Tzonenes, with fine flour which is cold. So Mishmul Rav to Amri Law Gavar, point to Rav again, who holds at the top one is the one that wins. Mishmacha Yukman says Makomo, that's, you have to take away that flour. Demir Tachle Lesolas, because the juice makes the flour boiling hot. And then Hadar Hudrane. And then, after it made the flour, miritachle the solas to hadrodrone, right? It boiled up the fine flour around it. Hadra solas, and then this boiled up fine flour, miritachle the day, heats further the juice. Never come out virotev, machas chamusa the solas. So now you have juice that's also been roasted from the heat of the fine flour. You have to eat Korban Pesach, meat and juices that are heated and cooked by flames. Lotzli, not roasted, machmas davarachem, from something else. He holds that the bottom one is the one that wins. So if the flour is cold, so less came into tzonenesi, the flour that was cold, it cools down the juice that fell into it. So why do you have to take out that flour with juice? The juice was only heated by the fires. So fine, so now you have kosher juice in the flour. It should be okay. You should be able to eat it. Answers the Gemara. Rav Yirmi Amar Shmuel. The answer we just answered. We're not talking about where you need the juice to heat up the flour. Rather, we were dealing with the case of the Besolas Rotachas, where the fine flour was itself boiling hot. So the fine flour is cooking the juice. All right, another proof possibly from our Mishnah. It's not our Mishnah said, Sacho, if they smeared the Korban Pesach, the Shemen Shel Truma, with oil of Truma, Im Chaburas Kohanim, if the group that bought this Korban Pesach are a bunch of Kohanim who can eat Truma, Yochlu, they just eat it. Im Shel Yisrael, but if it's a group of Yisraelim who can't eat the Truma, Im Chayu, if the Korban Pesach hasn't been roasted yet, it's still raw, Yedichenu, they just wash it off. Im Tzliu, but if it's roasted, so now the oil will be absorbed, Yuklo Pesachit, and you have to peel off the outer part and burn it. Now, Mishmah l'Rav d'amri lo gavar. According to Rav, who holds that the top one wins. So that's why, since the top one, namely the oil which is cold, is the one that wins, so it's enough to just peel it off. Because the oil which is on top is cold, so everything becomes cold. But according to Shmuel, who holds that the bottom one wins. So kevan dechamu, since the meat of the Korban Pesach is hot because it was roasted, mivlabala. So now the whole thing is considered hot. So when you have one big thing of hot, the taste goes through the whole thing. Am I saglu b'klifa? Why is it enough to just peel off the edges? Nitzalagamre, the whole Korban Pesach should be prohibited because we should say that this Korban Pesach has truma oil throughout it. Answer the Gemara. Shiny sicha, smearing the oil is different. Demashu ba'al mahuda avida. We're talking about a case where you only put in a little bit of oil. It's just a mashu, just a little bit of oil. So since it's just a little bit of oil, it doesn't spread through the entirety of the sheep. But ultimately, this is the halacha. We have brisos that support Shmuel, that the bottom item is the one that wins. So you have a brisa. Tanya kavasi de Shmuel. We have brisa like Shmuel. The brisa says, Cham l'toch cham. You put a hot food into a hot food. A hot burger into hot cheese. Usser. The whole thing's prohibited. V'chein sonein shenasa l'toch cham. You put a cold burger into hot cheese. It's all prohibited. Usser. Because when you put cold into hot, the whole thing is hot. The bottom one wins. But ham l'toch tzonin, if you put hot into cold, the bottom one wins. It's not hot. Tzonin l'toch tzonin, you put cold into cold, the bottom one wins. The top one here also cold. It's all cold. So whenever you have two cold things touching each other, madiach, you just have to wash it off. They don't become prohibited. Ask the Gemara about this brisa. And if you put hot into cold, so we see that the bottom one wins, it's all cold. Madiach, all you have to do is wash it off. I understand. Came in the chamu. You put it in, it was hot. You put a hot burger on top of cold cheese. So you see, all you have to do is wash them off, both off. What? Wash them off? Yeah, maybe the cold cheese is going to cool down the burger, but initially the burger is hot. Ademekali, as the burger is cooling down, the yafshut lobalaporta, it's only going to absorb a little something of the cheese. Till it cools down, till the bottom one wins, it's going to take some time. Answer the Gemara. So klipim anybody, you should at least have to peel off something from the burger. So, well, you're right. You have to change the language of the brisa. Cham l'toch tzonin, if you put something hot into something cold, kol it, you peel off. Because as it's cooling down, it's absorbing, but it doesn't absorb so much because it does cool down. So you only peel off the peel. Tzonin l'toch tzonin, if you put cold into cold, you don't even have to peel. All you have to do is wash off. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, another brisa also like Shmuel, that the bottom one is the one that wins. We learned in a brisa. Asa roteach, if you have boiling hot meat, she'nafel l'toch chalav roteach, that fell into boiling hot milk. V'chein sonin, or if you have cold, she'nafel l'toch cham, cold meat that fell into hot milk. So again, bottom one wins. Cold fell into hot. The whole thing is considered hot. Aser, it all is prohibited. But cham l'toch tzonin, if you have hot falling into cold, or tzonin l'toch tzonin, cold falling into cold, then we say the whole thing is cold. If the whole thing is cold, mediach, you only wash it off. So this is about milk and meat. So you want to ask the same question you had before. Cham l'toch tzonin, if you have hot meat falling into cold milk, Madiach, you only wash it off. I don't understand. Even though it fell into the cold milk. And the cold milk is what wins. But came into chamu, since it was hot. Ademekerle, till it cools down, yafshut lo balaporta. It certainly absorbed something. So clean for me, anybody. You should have to peel it off. Elei masrani, you have to change. Cham l'toch tzoni. If hot fell into cold, kolif, you just peel it off. Tzoni l'toch tzoni. Cold fell into cold. You don't even have to peel off. Madiach, you just wash off. Now the Gemara is going to say that there are exceptions to this. When we say that cold and cold, you just have to wash off, there are exceptions. Amar, we learned in the Braisa, Tzonin l'toch tzonin, if you have cold falling into cold, whether it's a cold ham falling into cold bologna, which is kosher, or you have cold meat falling into cold milk. We said just Madiach, you just have to wash it off. Amar Avuna, Avuna said, Lo Shana, that's only true, Lo Shlom Milcha, if you've not salted it. But if one of the items is very salty, it's been salted, there's a ton of salt on it, also it's not allowed. So Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel taught us, Maliach Hareo Kiroteach. Salted is like boiling hot and absorbs. Shmuel said another thing, Kavush, two items being pickled together in vinegar, Hareo Kimavushal, it's like cooking them together. Amar Rav, Rav said, a limitation of what Shmuel just said. Oh, Amar Shmuel, this is what Shmuel said, Maliach Hareo Kiroteach. Salted, even though it's cold, it's as if it's boiling. Lo Amar, that's only true. It's so salty you can't eat it. It's so salty that because of the salt, it's not ingestible, not digestible. But if it's salty, it's still edible. Lo, then we don't say that the cold, salty absorbs. All right, a story. Ahu bar guzla, there was this little pigeon slaughtered. It fell into a big barrel of kutach. Kutach, we know. Kutach habavli. We've seen it earlier in the Masechta. This was the cheese dip of Persia. They used to have crumbs and spices and salt in it. So here you had a chicken that fell into the cheese dip. Shire of Chinina b'Reidi Rava, he Pashrunya. Rav Chinina, the son of Rava from Pashrunya, permitted the chicken. Amar Rava, Rava said, Man chakam l'mishim ilsukiha. Who's wise enough to permit such a thing? Ilav Rav Chinina b'Reidi Rava from Pashrunya. Other than Rav Chinina, the son of Rava from Pashrunya. The Gavra Rabu, because he's a very great man. And because he's a great man, he knows how to figure out how to permit it. Amar Allah, because he'll tell you, Ki Amar Shmuel, when did Shmuel say? Maliach Hareo Kiroseach, that salt is as if it's boiling. That's only Shein Nechal Machmas Molchol. It's so salted, you can't eat it because it's so salted. But hi, but the salt, this salty cheese dish, Nechal Machmas Molchol, still eaten even though it's so salty. Therefore, it doesn't have the status of boiling. Again, this whole discussion is when the chicken or the pigeon fell in when it was raw. It was cold. It wasn't roasted. It wasn't cooked. But if it's roasted, because then if it's hot because it was roasted, you have to peel off the outer peel because it's going to absorb some of this cheese dish. Well, Martin, we also didn't say this, the less by peely. It's roasted, it's enough to have just a klifa, it doesn't have cracks in it. Avalis by peely, but if it has cracks, also the whole thing becomes prohibited because the cheese is going to spread through the whole thing. Imatuba batavli, and if it was well endowed with lots of spices, the spices also bring in the cheese and usser, and it's not allowed. All right, that completes the discussion of does the top win or does the bottom win? Lehalacha, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like Shmuel, the bottom is the one that wins. Amar Rav, Rav taught. Now a new question. This is called the issue of Recha, vapors. Amar Rav, Rav said the following. Basar Shchuta Shamim. Let's say you have kosher meat, but it's very fatty kosher meat. So you take a stick, you put the stick through this fatty kosher meat, and you hang the meat in your oven to roast. Shetzla'o, and then next to this stick, you put another stick. They're not touching each other. This the other stick has basar nevela, has non-kosher meat, meat that was not slaughtered, that's kachush, it's very lean. Doesn't have a lot of fat, it's not going to release a lot of vapor or smell. So even though the non-kosher doesn't have much to release, if you cook the two together, even though they don't touch, usser, the kosher becomes prohibited. My time up. What's the reasoning of Rav? Rav holds Recha Milsa. Rav holds that smells and vapors matter. And therefore here, it actually goes two ways. The reasoning of Rav is amazing. Mefatni me'adadi. They get fattened up from each other. So the fatty kosher meat, that some of that fat is going to become these vapors. These juicy vapors are going to fly into the lean, non-kosher meat. They're going to buttress up the lean, non-kosher meat. Then they're going to fly back out with now lean, non-kosher meat tastes, and they'll go back into the fatty kosher meat. So when you eat the fatty kosher meat, you're going to have recha, you're going to have smells and vapors of nevela, of non-kosher. That's the view of Rav. Levi Amar Levi said, no, I don't believe that vapors mean anything. Liquids mean something, but vapors don't mean anything. smell doesn't mean anything. So therefore, afilu baser shchuta kachosh. You could have kosher meat which was slaughtered that's lean. Shatzlo and baser nevela shamin. And you're roasting it in the same oven with non-kosher meat that is fatty. Mutter, even though the non-kosher meat is fatty, so as it is roasting, it's going to become vapors. Those vapors don't cause any problems. My time of why reicha ba'almu, it's just a smell, it's just a vapor. Reicha lav milsi, reicha doesn't count for anything. Big question, does reicha count for something or not? Very, very relevant, of course, for us, right? Can you cook in one oven, let's say on one rack, a meat, and then on a different rack, lasagna? If you say reicha milsa, then the things, the vapors mix, that's a problem. If you say reicha, it doesn't matter. Vapors don't matter, it would be okay. I'll challenge you, we learned. Ein solin, shnei psachim ke'echad. Raisa says, you're not allowed to roast two korbanos pesach as one. If they had tarub, it's because there's a mixture. Now, the issue is like this, korban pesach, the people who bought it are the ones who can eat it. If I didn't pay for this korban pesach, I can't eat this korban pesach. So why can't we roast two korbanos pesach together in one oven? Presumably the mixture, meaning the taste of one is going to go into the other. Now they're not touching. Why is the taste going to go in? There's no liquid between the two. The taste from one's going to go into the other through the vapors, through the smells. So if I eat the one that I paid for, I'm also eating some of what I didn't pay for. That's not allowed. I can't eat the korban pesach. I didn't pay for it. So my lav tarov is tamin, presumably because there is a mixture of tastes. Kashi lelevi, that's a problem for Levi, who says that vapors don't count for anything. He says, no, Levi will interpret that price differently. Mipnei tarov is kufin. You can't roast in one oven two korbanos pesach, not because there'll be a mixture of the tastes. The tastes aren't going to mix. They're separate from each other. The problem is that people will get confused which is their korban pesach and which is their friend's korban pesach. And my group might end up eating my friend's group's korban pesach. How can I even start with that? Makes sense. That's the pshat of the brayso. It's a mixture of mixing up what's what. I mean, it doesn't say because the brayso goes on to say, afilu gdi utzle. Even if it's a goat with a lamb, you can't do the two in one oven. Now, yeah, but Rishon Mishnah group proofed that the problem is because people might get confused. So I had a time. That's what it says. Afilu gdi utzle. And even though one is a goat and one is a lamb, so you think they're not going to get confused whose is whose. We are worried that they'll be confused. And yeah, but if you're going to tell me the issue of why you can't do the two in the same oven, it's because the tastes are mixing. So malik di utzle. What's the chiddush? Even a goat and a lamb. Of course, it's no different than any other two korbanos. Malik di ugdi. Even if you have two goats, of course, it's going to be a mixing of tastes. Elamai. So basically, what do you have to say? El karachach from tetarobas gufenu to aser. So you're saying that since the brisa says, even if one is a goat and one is a lamb, you can't do the two in the same oven. So what is it saying? The problem is we're worried that you're going to confuse one with the other. And even though they're different, we're still worried you confuse one with the next. So if that's the case, but we're not worried apparently that the tastes get mixed with each other through the vapors. Aval tarovas tam shari. The issue of tastes mixing is apparently not a problem. Slimatevitz yuvta de Rav. Maybe this is a disproof of Rav who holds that vapors and the smells matter. Rabbi Yirmi answered, Hachma ma'askin, and here what are we dealing with? Kagon shetzlo b'shtek deiros. The two korbanos pesach are in two different pots. So since they're two different pots, the tastes aren't mixing. So it's not an issue of taste mixing. It's only an issue of maybe confusing one for the next. I said, what are you talking about? B'shtek deiros al kadaitach. How can you cook korban pesach in a pot? Tzli eish. It can't be mavushal. It has to be on a fire. Elayma rather ke'en shtek deiros. The two korbanos pesach are as if there's two pots. Why? Rashi says, you have a spit with a goat on one side, a spit of wood, right? You have a wooden branch, right? The pomegranate branch with one goat on one side, pomegranate branch with another goat on the other side, and in between there was a pile of ashes. So whatever vapors are going are being blocked by the pile of ashes. That's why Rav says it's not a problem with vapors, but there's a problem with mixing up one with the next. According to Rav, this is the way to read the braisa. Ein solin shnei psachim ke'echad. You can't put in the same oven two korbanos pesach and roast them together, even though they're not touching, and there's no liquid going from one to the next. Mipnei taroves, because there's a mixture. What do you mean a mixture? My taroves, taroves tamen. There's a mixture of tastes, because the smell of one will get into the next. Vafilu ke'en shtei k'deiros. Now, even if in this oven you made a pile of ash between the two korbanos pesach, now the leka taroves tamen, now there's not going to be any mixture of vapors going from one to the next. Also, you also can't roast the two korbanos pesach in the same oven. It's from tarovas kufin, because people might confuse what's what. And people who didn't buy this one will eat the other one. We'll eat it. And even if it's a goat and a lamb, we're worried about people getting confused between the two of them. Amar Rav, Rav said, Amar Rav Mari said, Kitzanai, this question of whether vapors are a real thing, we worry about the taste that we got from the smell, is actually Machlokas Tanaim in Mesechet Trumos. We learned, Harode Paschama, if somebody takes a hot pita off of the wall of an oven, V'nasnal Pichamis Yayin Shel Truma, and he put it on top of a barrel of Truma wine. So now the question is, the smell of the wine, the vapor from the wine, is going to be absorbed by the hot pita bread. Rabbi Meir Oser, Rabbi Meir says that this hot pita bread now cannot be eaten to a non-Kohen because it has Truma smell and taste. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda says no, vapors are not the same thing as a liquid. You can eat the bread even though you're not a Kohen. So he apparently holds Reicha Lavmil, Salak Levi. And Rabbi Yossi Matir Mishol Chitin, Rabbi Yossi permits if the bread is made out of wheat, because then it doesn't absorb much, but he doesn't allow it if the bread is made out of barley, because the barley absorbs a lot. So my lav tanoi, presumably this is the machlokas tanoi. Mar savar, the one who permits the bread holds reicha lav milso. Vapors don't count for anything. Smells don't count for anything. Mar savar, the one who prohibits all breads holds reicha milso. He holds that the vapors are a big deal, and so the bread, it absorbs the vapor because it's hot bread on top of an open barrel, that's a big deal. There's a taste now of the wine in the bread. So the bread is now considered the taste of, it has wine taste in it. It has truma in it. So the non-Kohen can't eat it. Says the Gemara, Levi, according to Levi, who holds that reicha is meaningless, smells don't mean anything. So Vade Tanoi, certainly, if there's an opinion that says we're worried about the bread that's on top of the barrel because it got the smell of the wine, so clearly not everybody agrees with what Levi said, that smells are nothing. But LeRav, but according to Rav, Nema Tanoi, do we have to say that Rav's idea that smells matter is a machlokas Tanoim? Amalucha Rav, I will tell you no. Dekuli Amarecha Milsi. Everybody agrees that a smell itself is something, a vapor is something. And therefore, according to Rav, if you put a hot bread on top of an open barrel and the bread draws the smells from the barrel, the wine smells, yeah, absolutely, the bread becomes prohibited. Here there's a gzeira. Are we even worried about other things where, let's say, you put a bread on a closed barrel? Should that also be prohibited because it might lead you to bread on an open barrel? La vitmar Allah, didn't we learn on this? He on that brisa that Amar Rav Bar Chanan Reish Lakish, and this is the way Rav will explain it. The paschama v'chavas psucha, if the bread is hot, the pita came right out of the oven, it's hot, and the barrel is open and vapors rising, diriyakol aser, everybody agrees that the bread becomes prohibited, because the smell does matter. Now it's bread with the smell of wine, it's bread with truma in it. The paschonanis v'chavas megufa, if the bread has already cooled down, and the barrel is fully covered, diriyakol, everybody would agree, mutter, it's allowed, because now there's nothing. There's no smell going in, and we're not worried that a smell could go in, because no smell could go in. The barrel is covered. Lo nechka, where is there an argument? If you have hot bread, v'chavis chasuma in a sealed barrel. Or pas tzonenes for cold bread, v'chavis psucha in an open barrel. And that's the question. That's the question. The question is, are we worried that if you have cold bread on top of an open barrel, next you're going to have hot bread on an open barrel? If we allow you to have hot bread on a closed barrel, next you're going to have hot bread on an open barrel. But if you have hot bread on an open barrel, everybody agrees it's a problem, because everybody agrees that reicha milsa, that smells are something. Therefore, in our case, where you have lean kosher meat and fatty non-kosher meat, that's like a hot bread in one oven. That's like a hot bread on top of an open barrel. Everybody agrees it's a problem. V'hanami, but this case of Rav, he'll tell you, that's already paschama v'chavas psucha d'ami. That's like hot bread on an open barrel, and everybody would agree that it's a problem. All right, what's the bottom line? What was the action, what was the practice in regards to this question of vapors mixing and smells mixing? Funny, Rav Kahana b'Rei Rav Chinina Sava, Rav Kahana, the son of Rav Chinina the elder, taught, pas shafayim tzli b'tanur, if you bake in the same oven, on one side bread, and on the other side roasted meat, you can't eat that bread with cheese sauce. Why? Because the vapors of the meat are going to go into the bread. Vapors mean something. It's as if the bread now is fleshik. It's as if it's meat. And therefore you can't have it with cheese sauce. Ahubi Nisa, there was once this fish. And it was roasted together with meat in one oven. Rava from Parzikia did not allow people to eat it with cheese sauce. As he said, the fish had meat taste in it. So you can't eat it with cheese sauce, even though they didn't touch, even though there was no liquid, it was just vapors. Marbaravashi said, when you have fish that's cooked in the same oven as the meat, so that's basically mixing meat and fish. You can't even eat that fish with salt, not with cheese. Yishum the kashal areicha, because the mixture of fish with meat creates a bad smell to the mouth, u'davar acher, and it creates skin ailments, it creates tzara'as. Okay, ad kan daf ayin.